Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, so adi korup, guten tag, half a day, jiao wi viva kat bang, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster-bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death is forced down your throat, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And the Time Magazine Person of the Year for 2011 is The Protester. Have you heard that yet? The Time Magazine Person of the Year is The Protester. Accepting the award for The Protester is Bob Linden. Bob Linden, a protester since 1968, when he protested for peace and against the Vietnam War, walking out of his Stuyvesant High School classroom in New York City, marching and closing down the Long Island Expressway, Bob has been a protester ever since. As a protester for peace, it was only natural that Bob would become a protester for animal rights, animal liberation, and veganism. Bob has recently been seen as one of the protesters in the Occupy Wall Street movement at Occupy Los Angeles, Occupy San Francisco. Bob is a regular protester of fur, circuses, and vivisection. Accepting the Time Magazine 2011 Person of the Year Award on behalf of the protester, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Linden. Well, why, thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to thank me for that wonderful introduction of me. I couldn't have done it better myself. And I would like to thank me for talking about me so eloquently in the third person. I don't know how to thank me enough. So I am here to accept the Time Magazine Person of the Year Award on behalf of the protester. And first of all, as a protester who is part of the 99%, holding corporations and corporate media in utter contempt, I will now refuse to give any further publicity to that corporate magazine that named the protester Person of the Year. So first, I'd just like to thank that nameless, glossy, Wall Street-supported stack of wasted tree paper and toxic corporate ink for recognizing the protester, society's hero. If I do say so myself, have I told you that I've been a protester since 1968? No, I didn't tell you that. I told you that. All of the peace protesters, all of the animal rights activists, all of the Occupy Wall Street 99%ers protest injustice. All of the civil rights activists, all of the women's liberation activists, gay rights activists, all protest injustice. The protester is society's hero. Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Cesar Chavez, Cindy Sheehan, all protest injustice. All seek justice. If you are a protester, thank you for being a hero. You have now been recognized. If you are not yet a protester, well, ignorance is bliss, but I must urge you to join us. Each protester makes it a better world, and I want to encourage you to protest. And it's not like you can't find something against which you'd like to protest. Just walk out your front door. Do you see a McDonald's? Huh? Well, invest in an inexpensive megaphone and go save some children's lives. Go protect some children. Take your megaphone and stand on the sidewalk outside McDonald's, and turn on the megaphone. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Ronald McDonald has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Hey, Ronald McDonald, what do you say? How many animals did you kill today? Hey, Ronald McDonald, what do you say? How many children did you make sick today? Take that megaphone and Yeah, let parents know that their kids don't have to suffer diabetes, obesity, a future of heart disease and cancer. Hey, Ronald McDonald, what do you say? How much rainforest did you destroy today? Hey, Ronald McDonald, what do you say? How much climate change did you cause today? I think there's a YouTube of me at a McDonald's with a megaphone, and I think in the upcoming school year, I'm going to rededicate myself. I'm going to take my megaphone to elementary schools a lot, huh? It's the year of the protester, the time of the protester. So, protest! Protest the sale of meat, dairy, eggs, fish. The time for their abolition has come. Check the vibrant abolitionist movement growing in France. Abolish-meat.org. It's the time of the protester. Protest meat and dairy and fish and eggs. How they cause climate change and disease. How they deplete resources. Protest the school lunch program that poisons children with animal products. Protest cruelty. Protest fur. Protest the circus. Protest hunting and protest zoos. Protest vivisection. Billions of dollars wasted on animal experimentation. You too can be a person of the year. Oh, and my guest coming up on today's program, Nicole Sheen, certainly qualifies as a person of the year, actively engaged in animal liberation protests, in social justice protests with our LA-based group, Band of Mercy. She is also a press officer with the North American Animal Liberation Press Office. So I invited her on the program. Well, as part of my duties, well, you may not know this, I serve as president of the Animal Liberation Front. Yes, I've been elected to an unprecedented third term president of the ALF. And I don't know who's voting for me. No one will admit to it. But more and more you see those long lines at the polling place with people wearing ski masks. I'll bet they're the ones, huh? I know. Homeland Security considers them, the ALF, number one domestic terrorist organization. And I view them as constituents, people who might make a donation to this show. Let's see, admitting to being president of the ALF. How long will it be before indefinite military detention for me, huh? All right, so I'm not going to tell anyone at Deutschland Security, Homeland Security, that I'm also king of the Occupy Wall Street movement. And in a leaderless movement, it's really easy to appoint yourself king. Much like in the U.S. and with George W. Bush. Remember George W. Bush? A meat eater, I might add. Ever since they started calling this the homeland, it just doesn't really feel like the homeland I know and love, I mean, endless corporate military confinement, a corporate president who can't assassinate whenever, wherever he wants. I don't know. And also an unconstitutional law written by the corporations, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, that singles out animal activists as terrorists. Yeah, not the best time to be president of the ALF. Pepper spray, acoustic grenades, not the best time to be king of Occupy Wall Street or accepting the award for person of the year when that person is the protester. They just don't need that kind of attention from the FBI or the Department of Deutschland Security. So if anyone asks you if you know of me, well, just tell them, please, that I do a radio show about making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Okay, that's all. Or I don't know. Tell him he's been doing a radio show for 10 years. Some harmless show about food or biology or something. You can't quite figure out what it is. Okay, and oh, okay. So to make sure that there are no suspicions, let's have that biology class today, huh? There'll be no protesting today. Today's biology lesson is a course really designed by Milton Mills, MD, the Comparative Anatomy of Eating. We will compare carnivore to herbivore to human. So shall we start with, let's start with the length of the small intestine, okay? Carnivore, 3 to 6 times body length. Herbivore, 10 to more than 12 times body length. Human, 10 to 11 times body length. Stomach capacity, carnivore, 60 to 70% total volume of digestive tract. Herbivore, less than 30% of total volume of digestive tract. Human, 21 to 27% of total digestive tract. Stomach acidity, carnivore, less than or equal to a pH of 1 with food in the stomach. Herbivore, pH of 4 to 5 with food in the stomach. Human, 4 to 5 with food in the stomach. Colon, carnivore, simple, short, and smooth. Herbivore, long, complex, may be sacculated. Human, long and sacculated. What are we deducing here? The kidney of a carnivore, extremely concentrated urine. Herbivore, moderately concentrated urine. Human, moderately concentrated urine. Saliva of a carnivore, no digestive enzymes. Herbivore, carbohydrate digesting enzymes. Human, carbohydrate digesting enzymes. Why, the humans are looking more and more like herbivores to me today. Mouth opening versus head size. Carnivore, large. Herbivore, small. Human, small. Teeth, incisors. Carnivore, short and pointed. Herbivore, broad, flattened, spade-shaped. Human, broad, flattened, spade-shaped. Dr. Mills goes on to make many other comparisons with teeth that show humans to be more an herbivore than a carnivore. Nails, a carnivore has sharp claws, an herbivore flattened nails or blunt hooves. A human has flattened nails. Chewing, a carnivore doesn't really chew. A carnivore swallows food whole, where an herbivore, extensive chewing. Humans, extensive chewing. So I hope you'll chew on that revealing biological information and decide to go vegan. And go vegan for the holidays. The holidays coming up. Put it on a card under your tree. Family, we are going vegan for the holidays. What a great New Year's resolution that would be, right? This year, we resolve to prevent heart disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity. Wouldn't that be a good gift for your family? Bring peace on earth, goodwill to all beings. Oh, by the way, my offer still stands until December 21st. Contribute $100 or more at goveganradio.com. Just click donate at the website, and you'll receive a signed copy of the number one Amazon bestseller, The World Peace Diet by Will Tuttle. And you also receive the audiobook. And if you donate $25, you receive the audiobook. Click donate at goveganradio.com. Also, with the failure of the climate conference in Durban, you know, all of these climate conferences end in failure. The only way to save the world is a mass movement to veganism. And we can't depend on our governments or their masters, greedy corporations, to do anything. We have to do it all. We have to get the word out that veganism is the only way to save the planet. We need your help to do it. We have to buy broadcast airtime, so please reconsider your donations. Where have they gone in the past? If they haven't been going toward supporting veganism and animal liberation activism, please redirect your donations to Go Vegan Radio. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. If you're a vegan animal liberation activist, your donation should go to Go Vegan Radio. If you're an environmentalist or an animal lover, this is where your donations should go. not to Heifer International or Goats for the Old Goat, not to the Humane Society of the United States or the World Wildlife Fund. Please, not to Susan G. Komen or the March of Crimes. Please support veganism and animal liberation activism. You can go to the website again for archives and podcasts and to donate online. It's goveganradio.com.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever, now with over 200 worldwide, the first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us. The clock is ticking for planet Earth in crisis. Climate change, rising oceans, melting glaciers, deforestation, floods, fires, tornadoes, loss of biodiversity, hunger, disease, poverty. What do we do? Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai, From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer. She and her organization have been recognized by world, national, and state leaders for their noble dedication to disaster relief. What is the connection between planetary disaster and meat and dairy consumption? Read From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer, from Supreme Master Ching Hai. What must we ask of our local and global leaders at this time of crisis? What must we ask of ourselves to save the planet? How do we go from crisis to peace? Read From Crisis to Peace. Read it for free at crisistopeace.org. That's crisis, the number two, peace.org. Read it for free. For more on the environment, compassion for animals, improved human health, and plenty of free vegan cooking lessons, visit suprememastertv.com. Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai at crisistopeace.org.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. A decade of vegan animal liberation media infiltration occupying the airwaves as heard on Air America. How do we do it? Well, you help us purchase the airtime with a tax-deductible donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475414, San Francisco 94147, and for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com. And my guest today is Nicole Sheen. She's a press officer with the North American Animal Liberation Press Office. She's also the co-founder of Band of Mercy in Los Angeles and a fairly recent graduate of Cal State University, Long Beach. And welcome again to the show, Nicole. It's good to have you on again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, normally when we see each other, I think we're usually just yelling. We see each other yelling all the time. We're yelling in the streets. We're yelling at the volume that our megaphones will take us, you know, out there being active. Tell us a bit about the North American Animal Liberation Press Office. You are an officer there, a press officer. What is it that you do?
Well, we're media liaisons, so basically what we do is we talk to the mainstream media about animal liberation and direct action, and we comment on various actions that are carried out by anonymous individuals. So we get anonymous communiques from people who commit illegal acts to liberate animals or cause economic sabotage, and it's all in the name of a better world where animals don't suffer under speciesism, animals don't suffer under the conditions which they currently do across the world, you know, in laboratories, factory farms, and you name it. Any form of exploitation, people are out there fighting, you know, above ground and underground. So we are the media liaisons for the underground actions. We don't know who these people are, don't want to know who they are. We just speak to the historical and ideological reasons why people take direct action for animals.
Mm. And what have been some of the actions recently? What communiques have you received, and what actions have been happening recently?
Well, there's been a lot of mink liberations, actually. There's a recent one in Oregon that was just claimed. And we get all sorts of different various communiques in. There was turkeys that were freed in Vermont by the animal rights militia, and that was in support of prisoner of war, ALF prisoner of war, Walter Bond. So that was a pretty amazing action. Lots of animals are freed in addition to, costing the animal abusers lots of money. So that's some of the recent ones. Now, you're probably alluding to the one that we're probably going to discuss more, is the communique, the possible threat in Toronto. Is that correct?
But still, it interests me that, people don't realize that there are people risking their freedom, for a cause in which they believe, the liberation of animals. So I think a lot of people don't realize that direct action goes on, under the radar of the media generally. Oddly enough, go ahead.
Usually what happens is we speak to the media and then we're discredited, as being these accomplices to terrorists, speaking about the actions in a way that the media doesn't look at as very positive. Let's just say that. They like to say that, people who take direct action in the underground are terrorists. And we serve as legal above ground activists and also as media liaisons to discredit that and invalidate that and say, no, these are actually people that are risking their lives and their entire, beings to liberate others or, cause economic sabotage.
Because they see oppression, they see torture, they see
right.
pain that people don't see when they see the end products, when they...
Right.
And a lot of this comes under the banner of what would be called the Animal Liberation Front, the ALF, which I believe has a doctrine of nonviolence to not hurt any human or non-human animal and hasn't yet somehow rises to the top of the terrorist list.
That's interesting. We talk about that a lot in interviews when people talk about violence, especially when we're talking about economic sabotage and property destruction. Many times, the media will say, oh, this is violence. This is, look at what these terrorists are doing. And we serve to show the other perspective and actually say, well, property is not sentient. These animals are, and this is exactly what's going on, and this is why people take action for animals to make sure that they don't have to suffer under these egregious conditions anymore.
Right, and people who do that often see that there's no progress being made through legal means, through pressure from the public, and
right.
often feel like they take it into their own hands. So recently there was a communique that seemed to be racially biased in Toronto that seemed to be, say it was written from Animal Liberation Canada USA, I believe, and you
yeah.
wanted to refute that, and you did actually. I saw your written response, which was really beautifully written, and tell us about that.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to address about that, just because first of all, the Animal Liberation Canada USA banner has never been heard from ever before. The press office didn't officially receive any communique or letter. Rather, it was given to the mainstream media from the Chinese Business Association in Toronto. And then the press office got wind of it through that article. It was through, I can't remember, it was a newspaper in Toronto. The Huffington Post, that's who put it out first. And I read it and was just completely appalled to the content of this letter because I don't even want to repeat half the things. But what what was being said in this supposed communique or letter was that there was a poison threat, a threat to poison various products throughout Mandarin and Chinese restaurants in Toronto because of the recent shark fin ban, which is positive for animals. The shark fin ban actually stopped the selling of shark fins in Toronto. So when we see this kind of letter come out, we have to really question who's writing it, because there has never been, in the history of animal liberation, as far as I know, has never been a communique or a letter release threatening on the backs or on the heels of a legislative victory for animals. Just historically has never been found. It doesn't make sense. There's no seemingly motive to do so. Mm-hmm. So we were confused on multiple levels this letter was coming from.
And the cultural association here is with sharks, shark fins. It's shark fin soup in the Chinese community, basically. And so...
Well, it was a generalization, absolutely. It was, and I'll get into that. But I also want to talk about the validity of this letter and the credibility, because what the press office is looking at, and, we believe this is the industry and the attempt to discredit animal liberation, or that, or it's a hoax.
You think this letter itself was from the industry, from the...
Yeah, because it doesn't correlate with all the other historical actions that have happened, especially in the realm of threats, like putting rat poison or putting razor blades or whatever the threat may be. It usually is targeted against an individual that is perpetrating oppression, like a vivisector or somebody who commits animal abuse, or it's to the general public in items. Like Palm Wonderful, for example, there was a huge communique that came out, and a huge scare about Palm Wonderful being poisoned because they used animals for testing whether pomegranate juice was good for our hearts and for male prostate. So there, it usually isn't targeted to one social or ethnic group. So that's where we're kind of analyzing this and saying, well, who's writing this? This is clearly not from our movement on multiple fronts, because historically, the language, we've never seen anything this explosive or racist before. And we really do believe it's a hoax or that it's the industry attempting to discredit. But another thing I wanted to discuss, and people feel free to interject any moment here, but the interconnections of oppression, and that's what my refuting and my rebuttal was mostly focused on, was about the interconnections of struggle.
Right, of course. And so I just want people to understand this was a racist communique directed against the Chinese community, supposedly an animal liberation communique, but you don't believe that to be the case. And you're offended by it. And I find some of my greatest allies right now in the vegan animal liberation movement to be from Asia. Many of the followers of Supreme Master Ching Hai. It's really they're the ones who have just opened 200 vegan restaurants around the world.
Right. Well, and also in areas of China that are more rural have highest vegetarian populations because of their because of Buddhism, and Buddhism has created more vegetarians in the world than anything else has. So for us to not us speaking, but the general people in the movement to completely, like we said, generalize and objectify human beings that, as individuals very well love animals as well. And so, back to the letter and the communique, no groups have officially received this. That's another thing that's kind of sketchy about this whole situation. So we're looking at this, to say that it's not, it's not somebody who is either very stable or it's the industry. there is all evidence pointing to the contrary of it being associated with the animal liberation movement, and we should even if it was a communique that was coming from the animal liberation movement, we should always, always question and, fight back, because it's not right that people are, you know, saying these kinds of things about people that very well care about animals and, fight for their liberation as well. So.
Well, isn't it one struggle, one fight?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I say, and I mean it when I say it. A lot of my work is about the interconnections of oppression, and one of my main objectives within this movement is to do coalition work among various social justice movements, feminism, animal rights, things that are more considered human right issues like, starvation or, we're looking at global economy. They're all interconnected. One is not separate from the other.
Absolutely.
So we always have to remember that when we're talking to people, because you don't know where they're coming from, and they may have a way to connect animal rights to what they're doing out on the streets, because there is no way to separate them.
Exactly.
They just haven't seen the connection yet. We just got to make the bridge, and also these social movements, I think, should be making the bridges for us. Because we can't be single issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's destructive and divisive, and eventually, it will fail. So.
Yeah, we need to take a break. We're talking to Nicole Sheen. She's a press officer with the North American Animal Liberation Press Office. We still have to talk about the UCLA Free Speech 8 and an interesting discussion of speciesism, which is, equals racism, sexism, any bad ism. Oh, it's connected to speciesism, and people often don't realize it. And that's our job, to connect them, because, the social justice lifestyle is to be vegan and for the liberation of all. If you've missed any of our discussion, the program is archived at govegan.radio.com, where you can make a tax-deductible donation so that we can pay for the airtime and occupy the mainstream media airwaves with these messages that normally don't make it here. Right now they'd be making fun of people, the animal liberation people, right now, if we weren't occupying the airwaves. So it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, govegan.radio.com.
Stop eating animal burgers!
Here's an easy way to create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit recipefactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones, customized to use or avoid specific ingredients, meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budget requirements, check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load, create food and meal substitutes, upload your recipe creations, and download others. Visit recipefactory.net. Create at recipefactory.net.
What do Paul McCartney, the Skinny Bitch Ultimate Everyday Cookbook, and a box of gourmet chocolates have in common? You can find all three at PETA.org. Check out the latest buzz about your favorite animal-friendly celebrities, discover fun and fabulous gifts for the entire family, and find out ways to help all of our furry, feathered, and finned friends. PETA.org has something for every animal lover. Get active, get informed, and maybe even get yourself a gift at PETA.org today.
Compassion is the fashion, and there's nothing more fashionable than men's and women's patched jeans, patched denim, and patched skirts from Sonus Denim, a San Francisco company that promises to never use animals in its clothing line. No fur, leather, wool, silk, or snakeskin. And Sonus Denim is dedicated to animal rights philanthropy. Check the website for retail locations, then set the trend in Sonus Denim. How do you spell Sonus? Well, S is in strawberry, O is in orange, N is in nut, A is in apple, S is in strawberry. SonusDenim.com.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meatsticks.
We continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And remember, you do have until the 21st, if you make a donation online at goveganradio.com, donate $100 or more, you get a copy of The World Peace Diet, signed by its author, Will Tuttle, along with the audio book. If you donate $25, you get the audio book. That's at goveganradio.com, and you can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. Today, we're talking to Nicole Sheen. She's the press officer for the North American Animal Liberation Press Office, and we had a lengthy discussion earlier about a racist communique in Canada related to shark fin soup, the Chinese community, why vegans are, you know, veganism is really connected to all social justice issues. And, but Nicole, recently you've been involved with what's come to be known the UCLA Free Speech 8. Give us the background on that. What's this all about here?
So we were originally it was 12 activists. Three were minors, and then it was 9 adults. And we were protesting at various locations, neighborhoods of UCLA vivisectors who experiment on primates specifically. They also do studies in rats and mice. But the campaign is focused on primates to make that connection between humans and primates to show that, you know, why are we doing this to our own kin? However, I'm against all vivisection for any animal. But we were protesting, 12 of us, at one particular residence one day. And these demonstrations have been going on for years, I mean, at least 4 years, where people are going out to the neighborhoods of vivisectors or live animal experimenters and protesting and speaking out against the atrocities that they commit behind closed doors at UCLA. And one day, the UCLA PD decided to do a mass arrest to silence activists because obviously they don't like what we continue to talk about and exposing their employees. So this is an attempt to stifle our constitutional activities, and it's been over a year now. Charges weren't brought at first, and then they started bringing up charges from previous protests that some of the defendants had attended.
So you were protesting at the homes of vivisectors in the neighborhood?
In the neighborhood, yeah.
And UCLA police can arrest you? It's not the LAPD, but it's actually UCLA?
LAPD never had a problem with activists coming out and protesting in the neighborhoods because they were always very conscious of our constitutional rights, always said that we had the right to be there. And there's one particular law that UCLA loves to enforce incorrectly. It's called focused picketing. It's a LA municipal code. And what it states is that you cannot focus and be within 100 feet at the same time. You cannot violate both while you are protesting in a neighborhood or a residential area.
Well, I didn't get that. You can't focus? Wait, I'm not sure if I understand.
Right. So the law is extremely vague. It says that you cannot focus within 100 feet of the targeted residence or dwelling in a private or residential neighborhood.
So just walking on a public street, right? I mean, anybody can walk on that street, except you can't because you have a message against the vivisector there? I mean, that's it?
Right. So it seems absurd, and it absolutely is, because this is a way that activists have been able to hold vivisectors accountable, and also other animal abuse, outside of vivisection. This has been a long-standing history within the animal rights movement, is to do neighborhood demonstrations because it takes the message directly to the abusers themselves.
And making a lot of money. Making a lot of money. When you do protest at vivisectors' homes, I noticed that they're quite the swanky estates, it seems. There's a lot of good money in vivisection, it seems. Huh?
There is. And it's interesting that, especially with the universities, it's our taxpayer dollars that's going to this. Our money is funding torture, murder, and slaughter of sentient beings, again, for the quote, greater good or for science.
Of course, no cures for diseases after all these years and so many billions of dollars. They're all looking to find the cure to eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, but don't tell them
right.
that their jobs their jobs would go away really quickly then, you know. I just don't
understand. They would become obsolete, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand the jurisdiction that UCLA police has to arrest people
well,
on.
Where they arrested us was within a mile of the campus, which was Edith London's neighborhood. They didn't arrest us anywhere else. There has been no arrest of the defendants at protests ever before. There has been arrests and injunctions with UCLA before with other activists. However, the couple arrests that were made for this specific municipal code, 5645E, which is focused picketing, was because we were stopped within 100 feet and focusing on a residence, whether they were, you know, arguing with somebody at that residence or they were knocking on their door with a megaphone. But this is, you know, in the past. So we're showing this example that, look, these people were arrested and cited and charged with this law because they stopped, and that's how UCLA always perceived was focusing, was if you stop within 100 feet and you did not keep moving. But one day they decided, even merely being in the presence of 100 feet of a residential targeted house or home was considered focusing because our gaze was on it, or our voice, right? Our voices, you know, stated the names of the people who continue to carry out these egregious, disgusting experiments on primates, which is free speech. We have the right to say their name and make people aware.
Where is the case now? Where are things?
So we were to go to trial beginning December. However, what happened was we were going to fight this, and everyone was on board to fight this. But a no plea deal basically came into fruition, and the majority, three quarters of the activists, wanted to take the deal. So it was an all or nothing situation. So a couple of us abstained. We did not want to take the deal, but we moved forward in collectivity because we wanted to make sure that everyone's interests were considered. Unfortunately, that has left us with closing that case, even though this injustice still prevails. And UCLA, it feels like they've gotten away with it. But luckily, we have the federal lawsuit where I, as a plaintiff, along with a couple other defendants that were part of Free Speech Aid and also another longtime activist against UCLA, primate vivisection, is suing UCLA PD for harassment. So that's where that stands.
Mm-hmm. So you're filing a lawsuit now against UCLA, is that what...
It is currently in effect.
Ah, okay.
It's been over a year since the lawsuit has been filed. Mm-hmm. What happened was the judge was sitting on the ruling and waiting for the criminal case to see how that was going to play out before he made any decisions. So... now on forward, we're going to challenge the constitutionality of the UCLA PD's actions and, you know, also the laws that they have been enforcing improperly.
I'm surprised that they can go a mile off campus and arrest people. You know, can they go a mile and a half or 2 miles, 3 miles?
They say that they have jurisdiction anywhere that an employee of UCLA is of interest. So, yeah, they follow activists, and that's part of the lawsuit, is that they continually follow, harass, stalk activists from meeting spots to bathroom breaks. I mean, and filming the majority of this, of activist activity outside of the protest.
Wow.
So it's a clear violation of our rights. And, you know, as legal protesters, we have every right to be out there. And what they're doing is trying to intimidate.
Yeah, I mean, I was afraid enough of a police state, but a campus police state. Now that's really scary. The campus police going wild. You know, like you saw at UC Davis. I mean, they pepper spray with glee. And they ride their bicycles pretty close together.
You see these, abuses, you know, it's systemic. They're trained just like any other police officer to protect the interests of the powerful. And, like I said, it's all just for a quick buck. It's all to get these names published because the vivisectors know if they don't get any publications out, if they don't continually be, you know, they're not pumping out work in their universities and bringing in money for the university because the chancellor of UCLA is a former vivisector. So it just kind of goes to show what you know, kind of control and power they all have together in fighting. Yeah, in fighting to not expose this particular issue and not expose what they do to the poor primates that are, you know, killed inside of UCLA every single day for fraudulence and nothing more than a pen to a paper and putting a name on it.
Unbelievable. Well, we're just about out of time. We're talking to Nicole Sheen, press officer, North American Animal Liberation Press Office. How can people contact you or see the work of the press office?
You can visit...
Or put on a ski mask and do something. No, I'm kidding.
No, we do not encourage illegal activity. But we do ask people to read up on the history of animal liberation. You know, there's various publications about what activists have done and what people have done in the under the banners of the Animal Liberation Front. And, of course, historically, people have read, you know, direct action guides, and it's taken them where they want to take it. You know, it's as long as we want to wait for animal liberation. And animals need us to speak out in some form or another. And as a legal above ground activist, you know, one of the things I do is protest. So, and I have an organization, Band of Mercy, like you had mentioned. Bandofmercy.org is our website. We go out and support activists and activist groups with resources and, giving a lending hand to the campaigns to build it up to be more effective. But as far as the press office, the way that you, can find out more information about what we do there, any, you know, donations can also be made to the press office because it allows us to do more publications, to put out more newsletters. That's animalliberationpressoffice.org. It's kind of a long URL, but it's pretty easy, just animalliberationpressoffice.org.
Terrific. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Nicole, for all the great work you're doing. And
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being with us today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Cows, pigs, and chickens don't want to be food.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us.
You will love EcoDogsAndCats.com because it has everything you need for your special loved ones. EcoDogsAndCats.com. Everything 100% vegan, natural, humane, eco-friendly, and organic when possible. Vegan dog food, vegan cat food. Yes, vegan cat food. From EcoDogsAndCats.com. Vegan treats for dogs and cats. Check out Sam's Yams, sweet potato treats for dogs who love to chew. Supplements, grooming, toys, collars and leashes, bedding, litter, litter disposal. Visit now. EcoDogsAndCats.com. E-C-O,
DogsAndCats.com. EcoDogsAndCats.com.
Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro in Portland is so popular, it's had to expand its seating. Find out for yourself why Sweet Lemon rates such rave reviews for its 100% vegan, Asian, and American fusion creative cuisine. Some dishes found nowhere else. See the menu at SweetLemonVeggieBistro.com. Catering trays, vegan cakes, and delivery are available. Sweet Lemon in the Bethany Village Center, 4888 Northwest Bethany Boulevard. Call 503-617-1419. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro.
This is Go Vegan, Bob Linden.
Happy holidays from Go Vegan with Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com. My thanks to Nicole Sheen for being on today's program, a person of the year, because she is a protester, one of society's heroes. And I didn't know that the chancellor of UCLA is a former vivisector. So someone engaged in fraudulent, non-scientific science is the chancellor of UCLA? Doesn't that cheapen a UCLA diploma? I mean, which is more prestigious now, a UCLA diploma or a role of Charmin? The person of the year will be visiting UCLA again regularly in the coming year, too. I guarantee that. Moving to the other side of the country, protesters have been active throughout the years opposing the barbaric pigeon shoots that take place in Pennsylvania, where wackos shoot at birds launched from spring-loaded boxes, hoping to win money or prizes if a wounded bird lands in an area marked off by a ring. Some people just shouldn't be allowed out of the trailer park, I don't think. Anyway, there's an amendment being added to SB 71 in the Pennsylvania legislature that would ban using live animals in trap shoots or for target practice. It's called the MAR, Anti-Cruelty Amendment to SB 71, which should be supported. That's M-A-H-E-R, like Bill Maher. So if you're in Pennsylvania or have friends or family there, please ask them to get in touch with legislators and ask them to support that amendment to SB 71. I'm hoping to have my bumper sticker ready any day now, so just keep checking on the website, goveganradio.com, or become my friend on Facebook, Bob Linden, L-I-N-D-E-N. I'll let you know how you can get a hold of your sticker, Eat Republicans, Not Animals. Or you can choose Eat Democrats, Not Animals. These are not political endorsements, merely dietary suggestions. And another dietary suggestion would be, if you celebrate Christmas, don't do it with foods Jesus would not approve, okay? I mean, ham, turkey, not kosher for a Jewish rabbi, probably well-versed in Genesis book 1, verse 29, that says we should be vegan. A true prince of peace would have to be vegan. And again, I remind you, if you donate $100 or more right now through December 21st at GoVeganRadio.com, you'll receive a signed copy of the number one Amazon bestseller, The World Peace Diet. You receive both the book and the audio book, signed by Will Tuttle. Donate $25 and you'll receive the audiobook. Click donate at goveganradio.com. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday afternoon at 3. My guest will be Nicole Sheen. She's a press officer with the North American Animal Liberation Press Office, which is often the recipient of anonymous communiques from those who participate in underground, illegal, direct-action animal liberation activities. But Nicole wants to discuss and disavow an inflammatory, offensive, racist communique that recently surfaced in Toronto attacking the Chinese community. How are racism, sexism, and speciesism connected? Listen this Sunday at 3 p.m. When you'll also hear our tribute to the Time Magazine Person of the Year, the protester, one of which I am, going back to 1968 for me and continuing, Well, right now, to this very moment where I am asking you to dump the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, hey, hey, ho, ho, meat, dairy, fish, and eggs have got to go. If you want to save the planet, that is, because Durban, Copenhagen, and Cancun won't. And if you want to save your child, too. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, international world-class vegan cuisine in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us and by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants with over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. In Palo Alto, 165 University Avenue, visit lovinghut.us for the Bay Area location near you. Who's the great vegan chef for the holidays? You are. Visit recipefactory.net for ideas or attend the holiday cooking class tomorrow, sponsored by the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, with Patty Brightman, co-author of How to Eat Like a Vegetarian Even If You Never Want to Be One. Patty is the director of the Marin Vegetarian Education Group. The holiday cooking demonstration tomorrow, 2 to 4 p.m. at the Ingleside branch of the San Francisco Public Library, 1298 Ocean Avenue at Plymouth. And the San Francisco Vegetarian Society Holiday Vegan Potluck is this Sunday afternoon, 1:30 to 3:30 at Fort Mason Center, Building C, Room 260. That's at Marina and Laguna. And I invite you to donate $100 or more right now at GoVeganRadio.com. You will receive a signed copy of The World Peace Diet, the number one Amazon bestseller, along with the audio book. That's if you donate $100 at GoVeganRadio.com. If you donate $25, you'll receive the audio book. For archives and podcasts and to make that donation, go to GoVeganRadio.com.